We're now going to have our Bible reading. That's going to be from Luke chapter 18, from verses 9 to 14. If you've got a turquoise Bible, that's on page 1052. And Luke is going to come read from Luke.
To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.
Thanks, Luke. Well, do keep that passage open. We're going to explore that together in a moment. For those who don't know me, I'm Andy. I am Kezines' dad. I don't know who thought this was a good idea. But he deserves anger from God for his sin, but he pleads for mercy. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. A sinner. Someone who knows they haven't kept the rules, whose conscience convicts them, who knows they've fallen short. He confesses and acknowledges his spiritual need, his sin. And the word mercy here has got a particular connotation. It's not the normal Greek word for mercy. It's a word that's connected with the sacrifices of the temple. So this tax collector is pleading for the kind of mercy, the kind of kindness that can only come from sacrifice. Well, what should we make of these two men and their two prayers? Well, Jesus himself pronounces God's evaluation of the two men's prayers. It's there in verse 14. I tell you, Jesus says, that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For because all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is a shocking reversal of expectations. It's this man, not the religious man, not the Pharisee, it's this man, this tax collector, this man grieving his sin, went home justified before God. Justified is not a word we often use, but we do sometimes use it in a biblical sense. So if I suddenly stripped down to my underwear and started doing the can-can, and now don't worry, this is purely hypothetical, but if I did that, George might well come up to me after the service and say, among other things, can you justify why you did that? Can you justify why you did that? Like, can you defend your actions? In the Bible, justified is a legal term. It means to be acquitted, to be declared not guilty, to be declared innocent of charges. And you see, here we don't justify ourselves. God justifies us. He comes to our defense to declare us not guilty. As we'll see, the shadow of the cross stands over this verse, and it's this man rather than the other. This man and not the other. The Pharisee, the religious man, was not justified before God. Do you see the severe warning for us here this evening? As people who love God's word and want to apply it to our lives, just like the Pharisee did, God did not accept the Pharisee's posture. He did not accept the Pharisee's prayer. He did not accept the religious man's righteousness. It wasn't right. It wasn't enough. And it's a radical and shocking verdict explained by the end of verse 14. Do you see? It summarizes the men's behavior as self-exaltation versus self-humiliation. And God will honour humility and he will bring down the proud. So we must not make the mistake of ever comparing ourselves with others and gaining confidence from what we see in the comparison. Our standard of comparison is the holy, holy, holy God himself, and we fall far short of his perfect purity. We must not make the mistake of looking at our performance and thinking that we've done enough to cover over our sin. We can't be good enough, we're not good enough, we deserve punishment and condemnation for our rebellion against God. As I've said before, if I came home and told my wife that I just slept with another man, she'd be rightfully angry. And you know, I could say, oh, but Jude, I've been faithful to you for 364 days of the year. It's no defense. You know, I could say, but I'm not as bad as him down the road. It's no defense. And the reality is we have been unfaithful to God so many times. But you see here, God justifies sinners who throw themselves on his mercy. He's a merciful God. He's lavishing kindness on us that we don't deserve. We deserve punishment and condemnation, but Jesus has taken that for us. He was the true sacrifice, dying in our place as our substitute, taking the punishment our sins deserve. He satisfies the demands of justice for us, and he absorbs God's anger in our place for all who trust in him, for all who simply trust in him. And he won for us a verdict in the courtroom of God, not guilty. Always obeyed. That's how God treats us if we're trusting Jesus this evening. Not guilty. Always obeyed. And Martin Luther, the German reformer, wrote a little booklet called The Freedom of a Christian, first published in 1520. I think I've used this story before, but it's one of my favourites, so I'll use it again. In it, Luther said that the good news of justification was like the story of a wealthy king who marries a debt-ridden prostitute. Now, the girl could never make herself a queen. But the king, he comes along and he's full of love for her. And on their wedding day, he makes his marriage vow to her. And with that, she is his. And the prostitute becomes a queen. He takes and bears all her debts, and he now shares his boundless wealth and status with her. It's not that she earned it. She didn't become a queen by behaving royally. Indeed, she did not know how to behave royally. But when the king made his marriage promise, he changed her status. And the poor girl is now a queen. That's what Jesus does for those who trust in him. That's what justification accomplishes. And Kezia and Essie have simply said, I do, to Jesus. And they are his. And that's what he has done for them, my royal highnesses. Being justified, being treated just as if I've never sinned, just as if I've always obeyed, means I have God's complete acceptance, his complete approval, his unconditional blessing. I don't have to worry if I've done enough because Jesus has done it all for me. He gives me his right standing before God, his perfect track record. He takes my sin, he takes my debt, and he gives me his perfect track record. And justification is not only a ticket to heaven, but it completely transforms life here and now. If I know I'm justified before God, I won't put others down to make myself feel better. I won't feel threatened when I compare myself with others because I'm secure in my identity before God. If I know I'm justified before God, then constructive criticism or discovering I've disappointed you or let you down, that won't crush me anymore. I can pray publicly, freely, not having to worry about whether you think I'm performing well. If I know I'm justified by gift, not by works, then I won't be judgmental towards others and their sin. If I know I'm justified, I can confess my own sin and ask for help. If I know I'm justified, I won't overwork or overcommit in an attempt to try to prove myself. I won't wear my busyness or exhaustion as a badge of honour, as though that somehow justifies me. I can admit to my mistakes, or I can acknowledge that I'll miss a deadline rather than lie to try to cover it up so I won't look bad. If I know I'm justified, I can stop obsessing about what other people might think of me when I put out that tweet. I won't have to live through the achievements of my children or your grandchildren. I can give an honest opinion in love when I'm asked for it in the office without having to fear what other people think of me. Do you see? Justification sets us free. Oh, what a liberating truth to know that we can be justified before God. So as we close, don't trust in your own righteousness. Don't even trust in the righteousness that God helps you to do. Trust in the righteousness that Jesus himself is for you. The declaration that if you trust him, if you throw yourself on his mercy, you are justified, acquitted, declared not guilty, treated like you've always obeyed, as if you've never sinned. And it's all through mercy, through kindness, through a free gift shown to us in the sacrifice of Jesus for us. Should we just take a moment in the quiet to reflect on what we've heard?